to playing on her phone before, and now she has tahoed it from him. It's all the same all across the country, Tina. Our kids and they get hold of mum's cell phone. It's like they're in heaven. I've got muckles. Oh, they go and hide themselves in a corner and start playing on their little YouTube. But anyway, it's nice to talk with you again, Sister Tina. Look, the reason we're chatting with Tina, it's a follow-on from our conversation yesterday about a call to the PM and ministers from 50 freshwater experts and leaders to retain the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management. It's known as Te Mana or Te Wai. There seems, Tina, an assault on kaupapa Māori here, and you put your name to that document as well. And Tina, of course, is an environmentalist from Te Whare Tor and Porau, Kahanganu and Tā Manuhiri. She's the founder of Poipoia, which is a kaupapa Māori company committed to providing environmental services to iwi and the public and private sector. So that's Tina's background. You put your name to this document. What concerns you most about what you're witnessing?
Yeah, I think what we've all seen in the last 20 days has been a specific and targeted approach by this current government on two key things for me anyway, on anything to do with our Māori and also our taiao, which are, you know, connected in ways that we all deeply understand. But I think practically how that's manifesting itself is in the removal of some really, really, you know, 20 years in development of frameworks that are set to, but have been set to try and protect water. And it's really challenging for non-Māori and Māori to be in a position where those really hard fought for policy settings like Te Mana o Te Wai are potentially on the chopping block. And for us, I think too, Te Mana o Te Wai being challenged primarily for its sourced from mātauranga Māori instead of whether it provides care and protection for water for all of our community and country. It's just a real binary approach rather than a more nuanced one.
Do you think there's something in it because it's called Te Mana o Te Wai? Oh, holy heck, it's a Te Reo Māori name. Let's get rid of it. Do you think there's some of that in there?
Yeah, I absolutely think that's a core driver. You know, Te Mana o Te Wai requires that people make the priority in their decisions around industry. Any user in the country needs to make sure that they're looking after the well-being of water first. You don't have to be Māori to understand that, but the best way to describe it has come from mātauranga Māori. We know it best. And as a result, I think that's been a trigger. It's been a trigger because it has been successfully implemented and continues to be implemented. And it's not trying to stop people from doing farming or forestry or any industry. It's trying to set limits on how much you can exploit to achieve that outcome. And I think there absolutely is a trigger because it's seen as a Māori kaupapa, even though it's for everybody.
Tēnā koe. What are you anticipating the changes will be and result in?
Well, the coalition agreements clearly state that they're going to replace the National Policy Statement on Freshwater, which is the piece of policy in which Te Mana o Te Wai sits. And they've also framed it in the coalition agreements that they're going to reframe Te Mana o Te Wai. And, you know, I'm one of those real geeky people who have read all those coalition agreements and trying to decipher what's being said. And that the tone of those coalition agreements are largely towards lifting restrictions for economic development, which are often seen as the environmental regulations. And what we're saying is, I don't think anybody wants that. I don't think any decent land manager wants to have economic outcomes at all costs. Nobody, like all the farmers I talk to, whether they're brown, orange or yellow, they're real land people. You know, they're water people. They know their environment. They don't want to wreck the environment. And I do think it's a small minority of loud people who are triggered by the fact that it's Māori and also triggered by the fact that they think that it's hard to implement, that they're actually saying, let's get rid of it. But, you know, this letter that we put out with these 50 people from diverse areas, industry, great people have signed this, like Tracy Hopapa, Kingi Smiler, Hilton, you know, Mahinarangi Baker in the Māori space. We're all on the spectrum of land ownership and kaitiakitanga, and none of us, even though we've got landowners and, you know, we've got dividends to pay for our people, no one wants to have economic development at all costs, and that's why we all signed that letter.
Is the government pandering to the farming sector? Obviously, farming practices are what have contributed majorly to the degradation of waterways nationally. There's a kaupapa of riparian planting that's been advocated for in Te Mana or Te Wai. Do you see this as merely pandering to the farming community, who are a lot of the voting base for those who have the reins of power now?
In my experience, the farming community gets it too. I'm not saying that there aren't diverse views. It's just like saying Māori, you know, we're not a hive mind as Māori. We all think differently too. And I think the same is true for farming. The farmers I work with are very, very supportive of strong, clear regulation that protects the waterways for intergenerational outcomes, and they want to farm. You know, I don't necessarily think that it's all farmers that feel this way. But yes, there is a component of that farming community that feel like they're losing something by having Te Mana o Te Wai as a core part of an expectation of what they need to do as farmers. But what I would say to that is that we just need time for Te Mana o Te Wai to settle in, for us to tweak spaces we needed to make sure that we're all winning. But ultimately, Te Mana o Te Wai says this: first right to water goes to water, that it must be looked after for its own well-being and not for what it gives or provides to us as humans. And I think that's, you know, in other language, that's protecting the public, I guess, need for water as a whole. And so the farming community as a whole, I think, understand that too. The water industry as a whole understands that. Three Waters and the infrastructure development understand that we need to have good, healthy water. I don't think anyone who understands how important water is needs to see Te Mana o Te Wai go. And that's what we're trying to ask the government to be careful, to take the time to engage with the right communities and to be able to really understand what Te Mana o Te Wai is before they just rip it out.
Tēnā koe. Well, despite protestations, we know that the coalition have the numbers. They can repeal, change, roll back, and we have to sort of stand in the wings and watch this occur. Historically, Māori have been quite accommodating, haven't we? We haven't challenged ownership issues. You mentioned that Te Mana o Te Wai really focuses on the water quality first. We haven't raised, I think we've been somewhat polite here about ownership issues. Do you think that this stance by the government could result in those challenges being more squarely focused here, and that if they're going to start dismantling Te Mana o Te Wai, then some might throw up issues of ownership? That's an unresolved kaupapa to this day, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, I'm always reminded that our, as whānau, hapū and iwi, our obligations and our rights around fresh water do not come from the government. And so we will continue to advocate irrespective of what this particular government advocates for. And even when it comes to water rights and as a whole, you know, I think we've always advocated really strongly for the ownership of water, and it's never waned. It's just kind of gone through waves of different regulation and policy over the years. But I certainly think that there will be multiple strategies for multiple parts of our whānau, hapū and iwi around protecting water that will be a range of matters. Litigation certainly is something that some whānau will consider. You know, active and direct activism and protest will be another. You know, coordinating the efforts of our whānau on the ground to look after our waterways in a more concerted effort, because we do it every day anyway. But I think, you know, another key point in the coalition agreements was around reframing the Resource Management Act to be focused on property rights. Well, that goes straight to the heart of what we have. You know, it's easy to use those words when you're assuming that we had ceded anything. We've not ceded those rights. We have not ceded tinoranga tiratanga. We have not ceded our obligations to water. And I think all of those things, you know, depending on where this government goes, it's very early and we may see some changes in the next, you know, few months to address the real clear views of our community. But at the moment, those things are all avenues that whānau are trying to figure out what works best for them. I think we will see real strong conversations about if we're going to go there, property rights, because we've got those as well. We have a range of connections to water that will start to really need to be clearly articulated.
Tēnā koe. Well, it's going to be an interesting year ahead. What are your major fears, Tina, if Te Manawa Te Wai, if that framework is dismantled?
I think the delay, because I don't see this as the end. This is a three-year phase. There'll be another three-year phase. You know, I've been in this this game with multiple governments now, so this is definitely a phase. But I think the biggest issue I have is the delay. Like, if things are taken out, it takes time to put them back in again once we get to different spaces. And the delay really, you know, cannot be held when we've got dire straits for multiple waterways, and not just rural waterways, urban waterways, you know, drinking water, wastewater, stormwater. You know, these things can't be delayed even now. They are already intergenerational problems, and these kind of political pauses mean that the people on the front lines, like our whānau hapua and iwi, have to work harder to try and protect those waterways. And I think that's my biggest fear, is just the delay, the debate, the constant kind of uncertainty for water users and people who impact water. It affects the economy and our sustainable economy, our ability to get things going when people are uncertain about what the rules are. And so I think the delay is my biggest concern, and how it will impact freshwater and its own ability to sustain itself when we're already in really difficult times with our waterways.
Tēnā koe. When we look back over 23, what are some of the highlights for you in the mahi that you've been doing?
Yeah, I'm really fortunate. I clearly have a job that I love, but I get to go out and hang out with any iwi that will have me, showing me their waterways, showing me the things they're doing. We've had Te Hira Pūao, which is a network of rangatahi who are focused tai ao practitioners. We had that this year. That was amazing highlight. 300 of our rangatahi turned up to that wānanga just to talk about our tai ao and connect to each other. They were bilingual. They were flowing between te reo Māori and English, talking about, you know, reviving mātauranga practices that have been lost for, you know, 200 years. We've got another one in Taranaki coming up in January, and we're going to do it every year. And we've got 400 of these kids coming. You know, there's these young taiohi to just connect. We're doing a declaration for tai ao at that hui. So I think, you know, as much as there is, you know, and I've been really challenged the last 20 days. As much as there is challenges, these rangatahi are phenomenal, and they are not going away, and they are not going to be told that they can't speak Māori or participate in the tai ao in a way that reflects their whakapapa. They're gone. The waivers are on the beach. You know, these conversations about holding us back, they're too late. So I think that's been the biggest highlight, and seeing how inspiring the Jobs for Nature programs have been, and seeing our whānau working on the whenua and feeling purpose again. So there's been some great things over the last year in tai ao. I'm trying not to reflect on the last kind of month as the be all and end all, because we've had seen some wonderful things in the tai ao space.
All the best, Tina, for the summer, and obviously, as a people, we've got plenty to focus on in the new year, but I want to wish you well, mm-hmm. and thanks again for talking with us regularly on the program. Mauri o te kia koe, tuhende tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora.